5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, hello, good evening. It is it's Thursday, March 15th. No, it's not 15th, 16th. I'm getting all my days mixed up now. It's been a week and it's only fucking Tuesday. It is the all-new Panic Room. And, it has been a week. I need some support from the old mate mucker, Steena.
Thank you.
Welcome in, Epstein. Hopefully you can hear me now. We had some technical fun and games there. So, hey, you know, as they say, the show must go on. But it's
right.
been,
yeah,
wow, what a fucking week. And here's my thing. I know, obviously, you had it all going on with the husband and his wisdom teeth and what have you. But it's a little bit bad. You know, again, guys being guys, you know, put it off. Finally, bit the bullet and went to see the doctor about an embarrassing little rash, shall we say. Well, let's just leave that there. Because that's not the main part. That's not the main part of the story. Moving on. So, of course, they do all the, took my blood pressure. And the look of concern on the lady doctor's face was a picture like,
oh, wow.
What? She said, do you take any medication? No. Do you take any medication? No. And it's funny because then she was looking and then she checked out the rash. And so it could be you have high blood sugar. So they did a blood sugar test because a lot of these things are exacerbated. She said, well, I can give you a bit of cream for that. I said, well, it's not a strawberry, I said. He said, I'll give you a bit of cream for that. But if you don't get your blood sugars high, it'll just come back. I thought, fair enough, okay. So she stabbed my finger and got this fucking blood out and took my blood pressure again. And then everybody else in the practice kept poking their head around the door to like look at me like, I can't. She showed me my blood pressure reading. And I have no idea. I have no idea. It's like 160. I've got it written down, actually. It's 167 over 84, which apparently is a bit on the high side. And I said, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
So what should it be? She said, like, 120 to 130. Oh, there I go. And my blood sugar is like 3. I'm not sure what that's supposed to be. Because she didn't speak very good English. So no idea what that should be, but apparently it's more than it should be. And they said, we'd take blood tests, and you could be diabetic, and you've got severe hypertension. I think she was just amazed I'd managed to walk in. She did all of this, and she said, so are you anxious? Are you fucking anxious? You've literally told me I'm technically dead. And you said, are you anxious? I have to take a blood test to check blood, see if I am. I don't think I am diabetic, to be honest. I just have a very bad diet. But I think the fact that I had, just before I went, I had two big coffees with a ton of sugar in them probably didn't help,
God.
You know.
Probably
should
not.
The blood test for that and for other things. You know, I'm going to fess up. You know, I'm 58. I've actually had my first STD test, so I'm kind of proud that it's taken me 58 years, and kind of proud that, you know, I'm still I'm still eligible, to be honest with you. She looks at me. She says, "Are you having?" And I didn't. She had to write it down because, you know, she was very strong. And she wrote down and said, "Yes, I am." What are you saying, bitch? the funny thing is, you know, I came home. I was all depressed and everything. Oh shit, you know. And she said, you know, just give me a little chart and I'm going to take my, I actually bought myself a blood pressure monitor thing. And I've been doing that and it's fine. Here we go. Live on the air. I've taken it twice today. I was 125 over 73 this morning, 128 over 78 this afternoon, which is fine. Dead. Just like,
now, did you drink these coffees like right before you'd went to the doctor? I mean, maybe that could have been it, I suppose, right?
I hate doctors. It's funny when I went for my tooth thing in November. You know, it's your blood pressure's a bit high. You're about to fucking rip my tooth out of my head. What do you expect?
Yeah,
I say. I mean, I honestly, I hate doctors. I hate, as you know. anything to doctors, hospitals, all of that, just it obviously gives me, I was just having anxiety, I was severe anxiety. And
yeah,
I'm at home, and even with you know, she, you know, I read up on it, avoid stress. Well, I'm not sure I'm supposed to do that, to be honest, but, you know, I'm trying to minimize it, but yeah. So I'm doing my, I'll take the readings again. So, but again, like this morning, I had my coffee, I didn't put sugar in it, so, and I've just watched what I've eaten today. Whether that affects your blood pressure or not, it probably does, but... you know, and it's funny, I've been sort of trying to cut down on, you know, I've not really been trying that hard, to be honest, cut down on bad stuff. But
yeah.
It's funny, actually, the night before I went, as well, me and the kids went out for a big monster Habanachi with
what
all the
that?
Rice and all
the...
It's Japanese, where they make it in front of you. Yeah, hibachi. They make it in front of you and do all that. That was fun. We had a belly full of, and I came home and had ice cream.
yeah.
It'll be interesting, actually. I've got to go back. I've got to do this for a week. I've got to go back next Monday because I'm actually going to be out of town for a couple of days. But I've got to... go back to see, I'll guarantee, I bet my blood sugar's down. Because I'm just not eating all the sugar and the carbs. Well, of course it is. I'm not, honestly, if I was that chronically diabetic, my mum was very, very diabetic and, you know, she was insulin dependent and all the rest of it. And, I'm fine. Like I say, my diet and, you know, started exercise. I've actually bought a treadmill. So there's a problem. I walk here. I have a little route, but the problem is, you know, another month or two, it's just too damn hot to go out. Okay, well, I'm gonna get a treadmill, and because the kids said they'd use it as well, so I've got no excuse. I can do have my half hour walk and do all of that. So I think it's probably more of the universe giving me a kick up the arse and saying, look, you. You know, you're not 24 anymore. You need to start looking after yourself a bit.
Yeah, I get that. No, we have a treadmill, and, you know, I used to walk all the time where I used to live, and I loved it.
I really did. I remember,
And then I moved here, and there's hills, like, everywhere. I mean, just a normal walk, I can go around back, and I have to climb a freaking mountain, I swear. And I hate it. Like, I would get angry about it. So we got a treadmill. And, of course, now I'm doing these iFit workouts. And today I was going uphill, like, the whole time. I'm like, are you kidding me? I have a treadmill, so I don't go up these hills. And here I am, you know. It's kind of funny. But.
That's good cardio. That's good workout for you. Yeah. But, no, I think I've neglected myself a little bit for the past, 58 years. It's just that wake-up call that shit, you know, and it's difficult to actually accept that I am, you know, I'm not in my 20s anymore, you know. I plan to cling on to life for a little bit longer yet, so... You are kind of stuck with me, you know. I'm going nowhere. So, but it's just funny, you know. I'll be measuring my blood pressure twice a day for the next, you know, till I go back, and they're going to think I've made it up because they'll take it and it'll be 160 odd again. It's like, well, it's you, it's being here, and it is. I know, honestly, I know anything to do with doctors, dentists, hospitals, anything like that. I feel anxious. Because it's just that, you know, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's just that, well, they're going to find something.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course,
yeah,
they do,
yeah.
Because they find you've got high blood pressure because you're anxious about being there, worried that they're going to find something. So you got this vicious fucking circle going on.
But
you see, the problem is, I mean, what I'm other thing I'm concerned, I mean, I shouldn't, if these readings are right, I shouldn't need... blood pressure meds, because that affects, you know, down below. If that quit working, there really, really would be no point. I could see no point in existing. No, 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 but that counteracts the blood pressure pill. So you end up just becoming this cocktail of chemicals, just so you can, you know, have a 3 minute fondle with some lady, you know. Which, you know, I'm all for fumbles, I must admit, but I hate taking them. I mean, they give me some pills to bring my blood sugar down. I thought, well, wouldn't it be easy just to quit eating fucking sugar? To be honest, you know, just stop eating all the carbs and the sweet stuff, because I'm terrible for that.
I am too. I would rather eat ice cream than anything else. Like really, if they said, yeah, I don't even want the meals. I just want just ice cream. Just give me the ice cream, and the, you know, you can keep the cake, but I want the ice cream for breakfast.
Yeah, I would buy.
That'll be my heaven.
I know. I would buy a pint pot of Bluebell ice cream or whatever, and I would eat at least half of it in one go. You know, and then you look at the diet thing and say, for a sensible diet, you should have like, you know, a quarter of a teaspoon of ice cream once a year.
Yes.
Seriously?
Six servings, and you're like, six servings? I can eat this all right now. What are you talking about, six servings?
Yeah, no, this is just one. No, technically it's one serving because I ate it in one go, so that's a serving.
There you go.
Sorted. But, I think in the interests of, you know, obviously, you know, I have a duty to ladies everywhere, to make sure that everything is functional. So I'm sort of, you know, taking steps to preserve that.
You owe it to them, yes, yes.
I do. It would be an international tragedy if I was taken off the market. You know, ladies everywhere flinging themselves under buses, they would. Anyway, enough. Oh, the new Panic Room's health hour. What have we got on the show this evening, Xtina?
We're going to have a lot of, I call it chaotic fun when we have more than one guest on at a time, because it is a lot of fun, but it can be chaos. But you know what? We live for chaos. So
We do.
On the show tonight, we have horror authors Stephen Bezidlo and George Adamczyk.
Hello.
Hello. What's going on?
Let's all speak. That was loud. Hey. We're good. Obviously, I'm just, you know, But thank you for joining us, guys. Always a pleasure.
It's always fun to be on.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Where is everyone calling from?
This is actually the first time I've actually talked to George.
Oh, really?
I'm calling from Chicago.
I'm actually calling from Chicago.
Okay. And
Steve, where are you from?
Are you asking
Steven?
Me or George? Yeah.
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Where are you calling in from?
Oh, I'm calling from Massachusetts. The always fun barrage of snow that we just had to deal with today, so I'm currently driving home.
Oh, you got snow? Oh, no. And yet here, I had to tell my daughter to put sunscreen on because she went outside for a bit. It's beautiful here.
Yeah, we got about a foot of snow, but it's all like that wet, nasty stuff. It's been a fun day.
I'm over here in Tennessee, you know, and we had a whole freeze warning last night, and you know, maybe snow, and I was so excited, and I don't know if you saw the picture that I put up. It had.
That was a massive amount of snow there.
Yeah. I had some flurries, and that was about it. Yeah, and yeah, it was awful. And but you know, I love the snow because, well, okay, wait. I love the snow from the warmth of my living room. That's, you know, and we don't get a whole lot here. So I was so excited thinking we were going to get some and nothing. But, you know, I can't really complain too much because I've been seeing the snow from, like, relatives that are up in New York and stuff. And, yeah, no thank you. I mean, I'll take the little flurries, so, and I'll be happy with those.
I grew up in Edgewater, New York. I'm fully aware of how bad the snow can get.
Yeah, I grew up in upstate New York, so. Mm.
We were supposed to have a big storm here in Chicago last week, and there was not one. I didn't get one snowflake where I'm at, so.
Oh, wow. I swear, I don't think the weather people, I'm like, well, who pays these guys? I really don't think they ever know what they're talking about, to be honest. You know, I think the other day it said it was raining, and it wasn't. It wasn't raining even a little bit, and I'm like, you know, where do they get their yeah, anyway, it bothers me really much because
they're worth the average.
I think
Robin Williams probably put it best when he said, it's like weather by Sybil.
I think they're just shaking one of those magic eight balls or something, and that's what they do. Cause it, yeah, really don't know a whole lot. So we got Stephen Bazidlo on right now, and he is going to talk about his book, Devourer's Tales. We have In the Stomach of the Great Devourer, We Become Who We Need to Be in Order to Survive. So tell us a little bit about it, Stephen.
All right, so Devourer's Tales is the third in my Tales series. I've been on the show, I think I've talked about Abominable Tales and Tales from a Dark Mind, but I'm not 100% sure on that. This one, I have basically started to say, I'm just going to go whole hog and see how gross I can be, or disturbing I can be, I should probably correct. But pretty much everybody that I have talked to that has read it or beta readers, that kind of stuff, I tend to get asked, what the fuck is wrong with you? A lot. So I'm guessing, I'm taking that as a good sign because they tend to say that about a lot of my books and then they stop talking to me for some reason. But no, but this one, I believe has 20-something stories in it. A variety of different genres, everything from serial killers to basically a Cronenberg movie. So,
wow.
Like,
oh,
body
cool.
Horror, that kind of stuff. So, it's gonna be more along those lines. It's got a little bit of everything from low horror to extreme horror, all depending on what everybody's tastes are. The only difference between this book and the other ones is that I don't have any of my real life experiences in this one. So that's the only difference between this and my others.
Now, do you find it easier or harder to write when you're just when you're making up things as opposed to when you are writing about a true life experience or something?
Like, Dana, I haven't had a clear thought in probably about 12 years. So,
wow. Okay.
I tend to just wing it a lot, mm-hmm. So I'm kind of used to that. And I was actually just asked earlier today. I have my next book in beta reading right now, and somebody asked me if like who I look up to as far as writers and that kind of stuff. I'm not really big on writing, reading, which is kind of ironic when you think about it. But
right.
I take a lot of my experiences from like movies that I love watching, you know, TV shows, that kind of stuff. I'm really big. I really like the SCP stuff that you can find on Wikipedia and YouTube and that kind of stuff. So I kind of grab from all different types of media instead of just, oh, well, I like this writer, so I'm going to, you know, copy their stuff. But
right.
I tend to go more with the cinematic style of writing, not like screenplays or anything, but I like to describe imagery a lot so that people can get a more of a cinematic feel while they're reading and can really picture stuff in their mind.
Awesome. And speaking of, I think we have a clip that we're going to play. We had one of our narrators read your excerpt, so I want to give a shout-out to Mark Harrietta. He is a wonderful narrator, and if anybody is looking for someone to narrate your book, you can definitely contact him because he does a terrific job. But do you need to set up the clip at all, Stephen?
The part that you guys are going to be listening to today is from Den of the Pig. It's the first story in Devourer's Tales. This isn't necessarily the most extreme part of the book, but it'll give you a good grasp of what the rest of the book is like. So hopefully everybody enjoys.
Brilliant. Okay, I'm gonna press the button now.
I don't know how much time passed as these thoughts repeated themselves in my head. But finally, I heard the heavy, slow footsteps of something very large outside the door. The door latch lifted with a squeak as the knob turned. As the door opened again, I saw the strange creature, its massive frame almost totally blacking out the light coming from the doorway. Leaning down, it entered the room before standing up completely. My mouth dry, I tried to scream before a slimy hand shoved an apple into my mouth. I felt my teeth shatter and the cutting shards of them shredded my mouth. Blood flowed down my throat as the monster grabbed a large burlap bag from outside the door. The way he hefted it, I could tell that its contents were heavy, but he still lifted it as if it were filled with air. Turning it upside down, he spilled its contents to the floor with a wet splat. I instantly recognized them. My parents' naked body sprawled out, twisted and broken. I tried to scream, but the apple was so far in that my jaw was locked in place. The monster reached over to a switch, turning on a light which engulfed the room in a red glow. A butcher's block held a giant meat cleaver against the wall. I noticed that Miss P had come back at some point. She stood there in the doorway with a smile on her face.
"You are probably wondering what's going on," Miss P said. "Now, Daddy has lost his ability to speak all those years ago when they raided our home. We just wanted to be left alone to raise our little piggies. Mother and I didn't approve at first, but I changed my mind after he warmed me with her skin."
I shifted my eyes from my parents' bodies to her standing almost in annoyance.
"Yes, I've known about your parents since the night we had dinner. Did you know that it is almost indistinguishable between pork and human meat? You should. You didn't even notice after I got done cooking you those pork."
The realization made me puke. But with nowhere for it to go, I felt my body starting to choke. I was almost relieved by the thought of choking to death on my own vomit. My body convulsed in its restraints, and the monstrous thing she called Daddy violently removed the apple, along with more teeth still embedded in it. I coughed as the burning stomach fluid drained out of my mouth. I felt sure my jaw was broken, as it wouldn't close, only unintelligible sounds making their way from my destroyed orifice. She emitted a psychotic giggle.
"Don't you see? The only reason Daddy hasn't killed you yet is because of me. I've told him all about you. He's agreed to make you part of our little family."
The giant of a man reached over and caressed her face gently while handing her the apple. I closed my eyes. What can I do to survive? I saw her face hovering over mine when I opened them.
"As much pain as he causes, it is only matched by his love for me as his daughter. Going to lie. The next few hours are going to be unfathomable pain-wise. But in the end, you'll be closer to your parents than ever before. You will also be baptized into our family, and will join us for the feast. Don't worry, I will be here the whole time to help you accept your new place by my side. The large creature grabbed the lifeless bodies of my father and mother, hoisted them onto meat hooks, where he began to flay their skin. It took only a few minutes before he grabbed a few clamps, attached them, and yanked the skin off. I screamed and cried as I watched in horror. Skinned bodies dangled, their dripping blood making light pats as it hit the floor. He tossed the skin aside onto a counter near a sewing machine. Grabbing the bloodied corpses, he dragged them to the butcher's block and began expertly hacking the body to chunks. Mrs. P. began cutting the skin with shears, and the sewing machine whined to life, its fast needle thudding like my racing heart, as she presented individual parts of a flesh suit to her father. I felt the needle with every stitch being pulled tight as he sewed them onto me. My body was on fire. Every nerve was alive, sparking with life with any movement. I was defeated and too exhausted to fight back. She presented the final piece, a pig-shaped mask made from the faces of my parents.
Well now, don't you just look adorable? We'll be back when dinner is ready. In the meantime, get used to your second skin.
Wow.
That was
awesome. I was there. I was loving that.
Wow. Yeah.
Believe it or not, that's not even the worst story in the book.
Wow. Right.
Like, you know,
yeah,
it reminded me very much of early sort of Edward Lee, Ralph James White, you know? Yeah, absolutely fine. That was really good. I see what you mean about being cinematic. It's very, very visual.
Yeah, definitely.
The fun fact is that I actually know somebody that back in Vietnam actually had to eat their one squad mate's leg in order to survive. That's why I know that it doesn't taste that much different than pork.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need to know that.
Well, now you do. Now you do.
Right. Wow. No, that was really good. And I have to say, again, if anybody is looking for a narrator, Mark Harrietta is your man. He does, you know, such a great job. And I, you know, love that I can ask him every so often, hey, do you want to read an excerpt for the Panagram? And he does. And you know, then we all
He's awesome.
It, so.
Yeah. I mean, he does a lot of work for Hellbound. He's brilliant. Everything he reads, he just brings it to life. Even something as disturbing as that, but I was there again. I was picturing it. It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. Wow.
A good question. After you write something like that, do you need I don't know, a breather or some comedy in your life or something? Does it ever get too heavy?
No, I've had a very rough life and I have a lot of issues myself, so it's just another day. So I'm working on a book right now. I just have a book in beta, and I'm actually working on another book right now about, you know, somebody's kid turning into a giant plant zombie monster thing and is about to, you know, eat its own mother. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think that especially horror writers, are more – we can get it out in writing, you know, the things that plague us, the things that are gruesome. And I think that people who can't do this or don't have this kind of outlet, you know, those are the people you have to watch out for. But horror writers, we just write about the horrors, you know, and I think it
it's for some of us it's therapy, you know, therapeutic. But I'm the same, you know. I guess most, probably all horror writers, probably why we do what we do, you know, have these this darkness within. But once it's out, and that's very cathartic.
The fun fact is that the only reason I published my first book was because I was going through a really bad divorce, and my therapist at the time, who was helping me deal with it, I had mentioned that I had always wanted to publish a book, and I had probably, I had like 70 short stories that I had already written, and he's like, why don't you? So I started writing again, I started publishing and all that other stuff. I found an indie comic company that I work with in order to publish my stuff. So there's all that. But it's actually quite nice to be able to get it out of my head, because if not, I'm gonna just have the same thought in my head of, you know what? I really wonder if you could sew somebody's skin to somebody else like a suit.
Oh gosh.
And then when I ask my coworker about it, they just walk away.
Right. So now you can write about it, and it doesn't sound quite so, psychotic.
Well, that's the thing. I find, regular people, normal muggles, I call them, they don't get it. They ask you what you do. You say you're a writer. Oh, what do you write? I write horror. Oh, what sort of stuff? And then you start telling them, and then the restraining orders come, and they don't want to see you again. Honestly, I regular listeners to the show now. Obviously, I'm if you heard the opening part, yes, I'm in the dating game at the moment. Hence my trip to the doctor's the other day. But moving on. I've actually had, women literally, they've been keen up until the point, and then they find out, I'm a horror writer, and literally I've been ghosted. Mm-hmm. I've had them turn me down.
Wow.
I had one woman who, we were chatting on whatever the app was, and she was a little bit religious, which is fine, live and let live, that's what I say. And it's funny, I said, well, I did this, and I sent a link to a couple of my books, and she said, you write about demons, and I worship angels. And then when I pointed out that, demons are actually angels, then that was the last I heard from her. Some people, no sense of humor. I thought that was really clever. She's literally, and she's ghosted me from then on. Yeah.
I actually just sent you the book jacket so that you can see what the cover and everything looks like.
Oh, I see that. Oh, I like that. So
is that on the thingy? Oh, I want to see. Oh, here we go. I want to look as well.
Yeah. When you're making out the signed copy, that's XTIMA.
I actually am in the process of ordering another shipment of books. And I have no problem sending you a copy or anything.
Awesome.
I just need to know where, and
I will let you know. Yeah.
So who designed the cover for you there, Stephen?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
actually a picture of me that I just started playing with.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I'm impressed. That was really good. It's just one of those images that sticks in the head, which is obviously the point.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Believe it or not, that's actually my first use of GIMP.
All right, yeah. Yeah, I have a copy of that.
Wow.
Oh, no, not that kind of GIMP.
Oh, I was going to say, we are going to take a quick break. Don't anybody go anywhere. And when we come back from break, we'll talk a little bit more to George. So, everybody just stay where you are.
Okay, we will be right back.
Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Don't wish it away, don't look at it like it's forever. Between you and me, I could honestly say the thing can only get better.
Stop! Welcome back to part two.
Well, we are back. We are back. Hopefully you got into another bottle of, box, obviously, of Chardonnay there, Christina.
Oh, yeah, I do the little straw, just like a little Capri Sun. It works out perfect. Yeah.
Capri Sun. How old are you? 8. Goodness sake.
It's like an adult Capri Sun. Yeah.
Now, that's actually margarita.
Oh, you know, I should do that, yeah.
Yeah, do you know, that sounds really good right now, yeah. A nice bit of margarita.
It does, yeah.
So, anyway, here we are. We are back, and we have our two guests are still with us. Hello, are we still there, guys?
Yeah,
or we wandered off?
Yeah, yes, we're here.
Awesome.
All right,
awesome.
We are going to... Yeah, I was going to say, we have George Adamczyk with us, and, you know, it took me a while to figure out how to say his last name, so I'm very happy that I'm hoping I'm not butchering it too bad.
perfect.
Awesome, great. And he is here to talk to us about his book, Lost Minds, Wandering Souls. Let's see, short fantasy horror stories in the tradition of Twilight Zone and Tales from the Crypt. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, not quite as crazy and gory as Steve's stuff, although I did pick a pretty gory excerpt for tonight. But, I don't know how to describe it. They're more like Twilight Zones. They're not really gross, most of them anyways. I try to work the imagination and Every story is about just a regular person who runs into something paranormal or supernatural and how they react to it. It's a series. I have 5 books out so far, and I'm finished with the 6th one. I just have to get it formatted and ready for the printer and get a cover done.
Now, have you seen reboot, remake, or whatever, Twilight Zone that they started, was it a couple of years ago now? I think it's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
I think you were watching
it,
weren't you, James?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. My buddy got me them on DVD, and I was watching them. Yeah, there's some really good episodes there. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Jordan Peele does some good stuff, yes. I just try to be myself. You can't write like Rod Serling and you can't write like Jordan Peele. So I just try to do what comes out of me, right? You know?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
There are a few shows right now that I think, I don't know about right now, but a couple of years ago that were kind of following in the same vein, I think. What was that one, Black Mirror? But my kids like really love that.
Black
show.
Mirror was
kind of,
that was really
yeah.
good. Black Mirror was it was like Twilight Zone but for the tech age, which was really good. I think it might have been on. It was on. It was on one of the smaller streaming platforms. Could have been Shudder or one of those. They remade some. Similar to Twilight Zone. Creepshow. Was it not Creepshow? Anyway, they made.
Yeah, they do have the show still going.
They did Creepshow those. And that was fun. Curse from the Crypt. They were the thing is, they were obviously very low budget, very cheap ship, but so were the originals, and they encapsulated the feel of that, and I loved those. They were just hokey and great, and I loved all that. You know, they should bring back the Outer Limits as well. I mean, that was kind of a Twilight Zone spin-off, I guess, but again, you know, that was, I guess, more sci-fi sort of stuff, but all those things, They, I mean, if they're going to reboot stuff, they should bring back some of the... If you remember, back in the 80s, they did a reboot of The Twilight Zone then, but they made it all very high budget. Mm-hmm. They had some, I mean, big directors involved, big budget and that, and it was just awful. Because it's not about... But if you look at the original series of Twilight Zone, which were obviously very low budget... minimum sets, minimum cast, but so incredibly well written and so well put together. You couldn't make those now. You just couldn't because, you know, they were of the time, but they were just fantastic. They would have two cast members and they would carry the whole 26 minutes brilliantly. Because again, the writing was because they didn't have CGI to fall back on, and a lot of effects and all the rest of it. It had to be all in the. It was almost like a televised radio play, which I guess they were closer to the days of radio plays than we are now, which may be where they came from. But I can watch that every time I pop across. They pop up on my. I think they're on Hulu recently. You know, I could sit and watch them forever. Absolutely.
Yes, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with a Twilight Zone marathon. Especially if you're hungover from New Year's Eve, man. You wake up and there's Twilight Zones on. It's like yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I try to do something similar to that, but in my own way.
Awesome. I want to hear more. I think we have an excerpt that you are going to read for us, George.
Oh, okay. All right. This is...
Hey.
He's suddenly on the spot now.
Yeah, right. Okay, here we go. I woke up next to Jennifer, screaming like a banshee. I stumble out of bed, shocked and dazed. What the hell is wrong? I yelled. Your face. What the frick is up with your face? I felt around and there it was, the zipper, just like the night before. It never crossed my mind that it would come back again. Thought it was a one-time deal and this was going to be my face forever. I never dreamed that it would reappear like some horrible recurring nightmare. Don't worry, don't worry. It's fine. Can I use your bathroom? I said. She pointed a shaky finger past the kitchen and I raced over in dread. There it was in the mirror. I had to unzip it again. But the very thought terrified me. What in God's name was under there? Would it just be my new handsome visage again? I could just explain it away as a practical joke. Or would it be my old Alex mug, and I would have to run out of the house with a towel over my head so she didn't get me fired? Or, scariest of all, what if it was a completely different face? What if every night for the rest of my life, I became a completely different person? How could I explain it to my family, my bosses, my freaking landlord? I had to unzip it again. I might have been even more afraid this time than I was the first time. I started gently tugging, tooth by tooth, but then I just had to let it fly. It was the most horrible thing I had ever seen, and I have watched plenty of gory monster flicks. There were maggots crawling around in my open, festering tissue. It smelled like the rotting flesh of a three-day-old corpse. Eyes bulged out, veins pumping putrid green bile across malignant, tumorous cheeks. Then I heard Jennifer scream again, but this time like someone was murdering her. I turned and saw her standing in the hall, her face crimson from all the blood rushing through her horrified kisser. She had snuck up on her tiptoes, and I didn't hear. In my fear, I had forgotten to close the door, and now she saw me, the vilest creature she could ever imagine. And that's how it's going. that's it. That's the excerpt.
That's it. You have to keep going. No, I'm just kidding. That was great. That was, gruesome as well. And I'm just glad that, I've already ate dinner hours ago, so I can, not come back up or anything. So thanks for that. no, I like that. And so go ahead. Go ahead.
I knew I had to keep up with Steve's stuff, so I picked up something, something kind of gory.
Hey, there is nothing wrong with using a zipper on a human body, okay? I'm just saying it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is. Yeah. In my nightmares, maybe.
Tell you what, George, I'm going to, I think I might add you on to my darkest end. Go to chapter 10. It's, you'll like the perverse pet.
Okay, cool.
Oh,
sounds good.
It sounds very disturbing.
I do like to read something, a short story, right before I start writing. It really gets me going, you know, when I read someone else's good stuff. It makes me say, hey, you know what, that's how I gotta be that good, you know? It gets my blood flowing or whatever.
Yeah, it gets something flowing. I don't know if it's blood or, like, the terror or the ice cold. Yeah, it was good, though.
Yeah, the creative juices.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, after a certain age, it gets a little hard to get, you know, certain things going anytime soon. I believe somebody mentioned an ointment earlier.
Yep. Yes, I did. Speaking of juices, yes, a bit of a segue there. What?
Yeah. Yeah, so each book has a few different stories, all with different characters. It's an anthology, just like The Twilight Zone or Outer Limits used to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, with a bunch of different stories, all kind of, you know, having, you know, paranormal or something in it, like what is your inspiration behind them? Like how do you decide, yeah, this is what we're going for now, or like how does that work?
It is wild because I just, most of it's just from, I wake up in the morning with these ideas in my head, especially, you know, if I have a chance, you know, if I have to get up and go run and do something, it doesn't happen. But if I, you know, if it's a day where I can just sit back and relax, when I wake up, I come up with these crazy ideas in my head and I have like 40 or 50 of them that I have in my written down as scribbles, you know. So
wow,
I have 20 more already written. But, yeah, you have to outline them right away because there's a couple of them that I remember that I had that I forgot to write down, and now I can't remember them. They're gone forever.
But I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
George, you've got to use
for it anymore.
Implement your phone. Write everything down on your phone, man. I have
no
a file strictly
phone,
called Story Ideas with about another 40 ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But they've been going really good, though. A lot of people are enjoying them. I've been trying to go to different cons and conventions and stuff like that. And I'm getting really great reviews, so I'm pretty happy. As long as, even if they never go anywhere, like really, if I never get a best seller or anything like that, as long as people are enjoying them, I'm really, really happy.
Yeah, you know, I think that real writers, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people who write, but, you know, real writers who, you know, it's like we can't do anything but write. It would be wonderful to, you know, become the next Stephen King, to become, you know, a bestseller. But even if that never happened, I think that real writers, we just have to write anyway. And it doesn't matter if one person reads our stuff or if a million people read our stuff. And, yeah, that's truly what I believe. And about the I've seen all the people who are going to these the author cons and the, you know, Stoker Con, and oh my gosh, I want to do this one day. I see everybody going to them and I get so jealous. They come back and they're, you know, they had such great time. They share all the pictures all over and I'm like, oh my God, I have to go to these. So I'm definitely going to have to start trying to, figuring out. That's what I hear.
Tennessee has some good. Tennessee has some good ones. Tennessee, Kentucky area has some really good ones.
Yeah. I think month, at the end of last month, there was something that I wanted to go to, and I looked it up, and it was like sold out or some. I don't even know what, but yeah, I definitely have to start paying attention because I do see a lot that goes on. You know, semi close to me and stuff that I'm like, I would have so much fun at that.
Nickel City Con actually in July, I think, or June. the end of June or July or something like that. And,
cool.
Yeah, my publisher keeps on telling me, hey, you got to come out, you got to come out. It's like a 9-hour drive for me to get there.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
I, it's like, dude, all through COVID and everything, they shut everything down while I, like, I was in the same city, and now they bring it back.
Of course. But you're in a good zone. Chattanooga, Nashville, Louisville, Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky. They have great shows around there. I'll have to send you some. I'll email you or something.
Definitely.
Get out there and see some people.
So what are you working
get
on now, George?
Out there. Yes, I got a 6-1 written. I just have to get it formatted and get a cover made. And then just going to different shows. I'm going to Quad Cities pretty soon in April, and I'm going to Vegas again at the end of April. There's a big Comic-Con in Las Vegas at the end of April. So.
Now, the one that you're working on right now, that's short stories as well?
Oh, yes. I have one.
Yeah.
I finally finished it, though. I find that, I don't know if I have short-term, whatever. I really have a hard time with writing anything after, like, 8,000, 9,000 words. I lose track, mm-hmm. but I did write one that's about 25,000 words that I'm almost ready to publish. But the next one's going to be more short stories. It
yeah,
seems
I always
like
wonder
that
with
–
Yeah, I always wonder that with short story writers who write, you know, short stories a whole lot. Do you ever have characters who keep bugging you? You know, characters who you think you're done with them, but they're not quite done, and they're still talking in your ear a little bit.
Oh yeah, I like to get back to a few. That's for sure.
Yeah.
There's a few of them that I'd really like to do another story. But then again, I got a bunch of other ones that are brand new. So it's only so many hours in a day. Yeah. Well, you know that yourself. Yes, of course, as a writer.
Have you ever written a character that you just hate so much that you understand that you have to keep them alive for the story for a little bit, but you know full well that you're going to enjoy killing that character?
Oh, yeah, there's a couple. In fact, what's it called? Now you gave me a good idea. I have to write a new one like that.
I did that for my book videos, and quite frankly, I can't wait till my artist is done with the graphic novel stuff for it, because I really want to see how they interpret that.
Oh, graphic novel, that'd be so cool. Oh, yeah, you know what's wild is someone got a hold of my first book, and they liked the second story so well that they're turning it into a comic strip, and it's going to be nationally distributed. It's called The Haunted Closet, and it's going to be done by a kid and his comic, and Power Comics are joining in to get it. And it's being drawn by Mike Gustavich, who's who worked for Marvel and DC. He drew The Incredible Hulk and stuff. And I used to buy his comic books because I loved his art. Now he's working on my characters. I'm freaking out here.
Yeah, that's
really
awesome.
You fucking bastard. Dude, I got Chad Harden on my friggin' email list, and I want to get something done by him. I just can't afford it right now.
Yeah. Well, this is a charity thing, so it's helping out. It's good. It's helping. Everything is donated.
Oh,
we're helping old comic book writers and artists who have medical problems and medical bills that they can't pay. So that's one great thing about it.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
you're
that's
helping
really
out.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's good. It seems like Barnes & Noble has some interest, so that's a really cool thing, too. It's
you know,
be a seven,
I have...
seven pages. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's going to be 7 issues over the next year.
Wow. Yeah, you had mentioned Barnes & Noble, and we have one close to where I live, and I frequent it. And I have been so impressed with their selection. There's so many indie books now that I find in Barnes & Noble, and I just get so giddy. I mean, I'm over there.
Cool.
I know. And I, you know, I'll go by the horror section. I'm like, oh my gosh, we've had him on the show. We've had him on the show. We've had him on the show. It's so exciting. I'm so excited. I'm like, one day I might see my my book of poetry on one of these shelves here. So I get so excited.
Great.
Yeah,
that
it
would
sure
be
would
fantastic.
Be. Yeah, I mean, if I have to bring it myself and put it on the shelf, that's, you know, it's something, right? right?
I wonder if you could get away with that. If you just, like, start going, if you, like, have your ISBN and everything, if you just start going in and just, you know, sliding copies of your book onto the shelf.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Ma'am, what are you doing? Oh, I'm not stealing, I promise. I'm leaving this here.
I made a comment on my first book that if I ever managed to get my books onto a shelf in a store, that I would go to every store I could and sign like one copy of it, and
there you go,
leave it there.
That would be cool.
That is so cool. Mhm. Yep. Someday.
Hey, we're all gonna have it someday. Let's make a pact.
That's
all,
what
all
I say. Yeah.
All of us. Let's get it done.
I don't know, man. I got a sorted path when it comes to Barnes & Noble. So.
Uh-oh. Yeah, so, Stephen, what about you? What are you working on right now?
Right now, like I said earlier, I have the Lost Footage that's currently in beta reading and editing at the moment. And I'm on Chapter 4 of Feral Terra, which is hard to explain. To take the Resident Evil, like, zombie virus, mix it with the Cordyceps thing from The Last of Us, and throw in a couple of exosuits from, like, what's that movie? Avatar, something along those lines, and then just throw that all together. You got like plants that are basically just human heads that come up and they're like spitting acid and thorns at things and just dissolving people. Pretty much anything infected with them becomes some sort of enhanced monstrous thing. I got one creature in there that's basically a giant pitcher plant with, like, elephant legs, with giant vines that just reach out and grab people and throw it into the big pitcher plant type of thing. So,
wow.
There's that.
So many things. Living in your
skull must, living in your skull must be a blast, man.
Dude, I just had another concussion. I don't know how much more I can take.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
What did you do to have another concussion?
Oh, I got hit by a car.
Okay.
Yeah, they ran into my car and it slammed my head into the the door frame, and I was diagnosed with a severe PCS. I'm actually surprised that I'm not stuttering more, because that's part of the reason why I needed somebody else to read my my excerpt, was because I can't guarantee I can get through it without stammering. So,
wow, I didn't even know that. I'm sorry to hear that, but you know, you're here. Yeah, you're here, and you're still writing creepy, you know, scary things, and you know, maybe it'll inspire some even worse, scary.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain it has made my attention very, very bad. Like, I had a movie on the other day, and I just forgot to press play because I got sidetracked with, hey, I want to watch this trailer. Hey, I want to do this, that, and the other thing. And I never press play on the stupid movie.
Wow.
Hey, you had other things to do.
Right.
Yeah, it was like 7 hours. Like, I skipped the movie for 7 hours, and then I'm like, ah, crap, I got to do my show. Now I don't have time to watch it.
Oh, boy.
You brought up The Last of Us. Is everybody a fan of the show? Wait, I just finished watching it.
I haven't watched any of the show, but I am a huge fan of the games. And from everything I've been told, that they are following the games kind of religiously.
So good.
There's a few changes, obviously. But I'm waiting to just binge watch the whole thing.
I went into it without having any idea about the game at all. And we got about maybe halfway through the series. And me and the husband went out and bought. We had to go out and buy a PlayStation just to buy the game.
Oh, wow.
And then he binged the game. Like, he was, like, crazy about, you know, playing this game. And it made the last few episodes so nerve-wracking because we knew what was going to happen before it happened. And
The
last two episodes, I was on the edge of my seat. And I have to say, after watching the game and then the show, they follow it really, really well. I was like, I mean, even lines that were in the game, oh my God, that's exactly, you know, that's the line from the show.
Have you
played
the second one yet?
I don't play the video games too much. The husband is playing
right now. If you haven't watched or played the second one yet, I would hold off because they're going to be doing the same thing that they're doing with season one as they do with season two. If that's the case, you don't want to don't ruin it for yourself, okay? But I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be heart wrenching.
You're going to
hate watching it afterwards, simply because of how heartbreaking it is.
Oh no! Yeah, I mean, there were some things in. Go ahead.
You're breaking your heart right now.
Yeah,
it's been a few years. I haven't broken somebody's heart in a few years.
They did such a good job. I was so I had never watched anything that was based off of a video game. Well, you know, everybody I think has seen Silent Hill and whatever, but I was like, you know, this is like,
they're making another
goes
one?
Beyond. I had no idea. No.
Yeah,
but
they're basically rebooting it.
I wasn't a huge fan of the movie. I can't say I hated it or anything. I just, I watched it and it's fine. You know what I just watched? I just started watching and I couldn't believe that they had four seasons or something, and I'd never even heard of it. Servant, do you guys know anything about the show?
No.
No.
So what show?
What's it about?
What was that?
It's called Servant, and I saw the trailer the other day, and I'm like, well, that sounds really good. And I guess a producer or something is a M. Night Shyamalan, whatever his name is, M. Night Shyamalan, that guy. And it starts out with this couple. They just recently lost a baby, and the wife is not coping well. So they actually got one of those reborn babies, and she carries it around and acts like it's the baby. And she has to go back to work, and so they hire a nanny to take care of this doll. And that right in itself is kind of creepy and sad and all sorts of things, but it's very eerie, and the atmosphere is, I'm only on the second episode, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now? Because I'm not real sure, but it's, you should check it out, though. But they have, like, four seasons. I'm like, where is it on?
What's
I don't know. I forget. But I'll message you and let you know what it is, because I forget what it is. It's one of those streaming services, but, And let's see, one of what's his name? Harry Potter, not Harry Potter, but the Ron, he's in it. He's in it.
Oh, wow.
And,
cool.
Yeah, and the actress that plays the main actress is Lauren Ambrose, which if anybody saw 6 Feet Under, that was Claire, and I just love that show. So I was like, oh, my God, it's Claire. It seems to be pretty good so far, very strange, and I don't know what's happening. I'm watching it, but I'm like, what the heck is going on? So, yeah, you should, like, check it out. So it's really good.
I don't know. I have enough issues with dolls.
Oh, do you? I should send you my my creepy doll collection. I love dolls, and the creepier the better.
I'll send you a clip from one of our live streams where my doll Juliet there fucking moves. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, we were in the middle of doing a live stream, and somebody pointed it out like a couple of months later. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I'm watching, and you see her arm rise up, and then she falls onto my couch. And
yes.
I said, you're going in a box. You're going in a box. I am not dealing with your shit today.
Yeah, I collect really creepy dolls. I'm telling you, they just look scary and stuff. And but if any of them moved, they would – you know, have to leave. They couldn't stay here any longer.
I had a date with a girl one time, and I went over to her house, and I was cooking dinner, and she didn't tell me she was a vegan, so I came over fully prepared to cook chicken. Well, anyways, I walk in, and she has not one wall, but three walls dedicated to nothing but, like, those like modified really creepy dolls. I'm trying to cook dinner, and I'm just like, dude, I'm gonna end up as one of these dolls. Like this chick's gonna kill me, and I'm going to be turned into a friggin', you know, Steve doll.
I think it was back in the 80s, there was that movie that was called Dolls. Anybody remember it? I thought it was great. These people break down, and it's raining really hard, bad weather, and the house that they go to is this older couple that have, like, a house full of dolls. But they're this sweet older couple, and they're going to house these people that are, you know, broke down in this awful weather, and, you know, awful things happen, and people turn into dolls. And it's really good. You should watch it.
I think I've seen it, but I can't really remember too much of it, but I think I've seen it.
Yeah, it was really good. And to this day, because of that movie, to this day when I see a sign for antiques, I always say antiques, because that's what they said in the movie. It was antiques. So, yeah.
No, there's an antique shop up the road from me. And they have a bunch of ventriloquist dummies all in the front. And I'm like, you know, I want to buy one, but I don't need one of those things coming to life in my apartment. I have no place to run.
Really? Get one of those ventriloquist dummies and make it into one of those creepy dolls, you know?
I have my own ventriloquist dummy puppet that I made, Mr. Tateman. And, he looks like a gimp.
Yeah, I have to say, I don't remember the last time I've heard anybody talk about that. And on this show, I think we brought it up like twice now. So,
Hey, different strokes for different folks, okay? I'm not judging nobody.
That's true. Yeah, I think we're almost out of time on our show this evening. So I have to say I've had so much fun. This has been a blast. We'll start with you, Stephen. Tell me real quick where we can find you online.
You can find me on Amazon. Just type in Stephen Mazzippo Books. And all of my stuff pops up. You can also find me on Goodreads. You can find me on pretty much anything that's on Draft2Digital. You can find me on any of those. So you can also find me on CryptoComics if you're into the cryptocurrency thing. If you have an account with them, you can just look me up. it's under Baz's Twisted Mind. So you can find me on there. And, yeah, those are the places you can find me at.
Awesome. And that was Stephen Bezidlow.
You can also find me on sorry, I was going to say, you can also find me on tcgcomics.com.
Awesome. All right, that was Stephen Bezidlow, and you can find his book, Devourer's Tales, yeah, just about anywhere. So for all of our listeners, sorry if anybody heard that, I'm sorry. Yeah, and George, tell us where we can find you online.
Lost Minds, Wandering Souls on Amazon, and I have a website, lostmindswanderingsouls.com, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm coming to comic shows near you, or horror shows, I should say.
All right, that
one
was George Adam Tech.
George.
And that's George Adam Tech with his book, Lost Minds, Wandering Souls, and again, we had so much fun, and we definitely have to do it again soon. Thank you so much for coming on the Panic Room.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you so much.
Not a problem.
Thank you. Thank
it
you.
Was
and we will,
it was fun.
We will look forward to chatting to you guys again, and I will see you again soon.
Yeah. Have a good rest of your night, guys.
Okay, and you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it is. I'm afraid time has beaten us once again, and it is time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Okay, good night.
It was a dream she